This is Raphonix After Hours.
Ahoy. Welcome on. Yes, strange words destroyed by my tired face. Let me try that again. Hello. Welcome. It's episode 110 of Rack Addicts After Hours. Thank you for tuning in. As Pete so rightly pointed out, we've been doing this for over 2 years. What a bunch of nerds. And it's brilliant. Ooh, guess who I'm seeing this weekend?
Go on.
Our good friend Andy.
Oh,
ooh, we do miss him.
I haven't seen Andy for the longest while.
Yeah, he's been upstairs at the shop. We're going to have a beer. We're going to have some coffee. And it's going to be nice.
What day is that?
Saturday.
I'm working.
Oh.
In the shop.
No. Commiserations for you. But what have you been doing in this last week since we sat here?
Well, I've been doing a lot of binging of the streaming services.
What's on your rotation?
Well, I'm going to save that for my multimedia recommendation.
Spoilers. Spoilers.
Well, I know. So I'm not going to say anything until then. But I think I need to talk about the elephant in the room.
I spotted it. There's a bit of an hole in your modular case.
Yes.
What happened there?
Wait.
No, I can't remember what was there. Off you go.
Well, there's a big, I don't know how many units it is, 16 HP. I can't remember. There's a big hole where the
40 something.
The Queen of Pentacles used to be.
Oh yeah, of course. Did it explode?
It is currently, as we speak, making its way to Germany.
Did it go wrong?
Yes, it did.
Ah.
It went very wrong.
Do tell.
Well.
I'm sitting comfortably.
I was hoping to do a performance tomorrow night.
Yes, of course. Oh no, has this scuppered the whole thing?
It's totally...
Ball bags!
Ripped it up and thrown it on the floor.
Okay. Yes.
So, because I'm one of the greatest procrastinators in the world, I was doing my usual trick, like when you've got to do something, like an exam or...
That's the only thing that can get me to do stuff is a looming deadline.
Or get a dissertation in or whatever. I was cramming for my performance.
Yep, okay.
And everything was going really well. And I'd last had a bit of a practice on the Saturday night.
Yes.
And then I decided I needed to do another one last night, which was the Monday evening, and I switched it on and then realized I wasn't getting any output from the
Queen of Quentacles, of course.
The Queen of Pentacles. And, well, actually, no drums at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I immediately was ferreting around thinking what's been unplugged, you know, what's been turned, what switch has been flicked, went through all the motions. And after about 20 minutes of fettling around, realized that I was getting nothing out the main, what you could describe as the left and right output. I mean, on the Queen of Pentacles, they're described as output one and output two.
Yeah.
And I was getting nothing apart from you do get the merest bit of bleed from the primary voice circuits, but you got that anyway. On that particular module, there is a set of switches for each drum voice. And in one position, you've just got the drum voice with no effects.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the middle, the drum voice is switched off. And then in the other position, which happens to be to the right, you actually switch it over and loop it through the effects processor, which is...
Gotcha.
I can't remember which effects processor it is.
What do they call it? Milky Way or something?
It's not... Yeah, it's one of them. It's not the Milky Way. I can't remember.
One of the doodads.
One of the Endorphins effects processors. Anyway... What I did realise is I could get audio out directly out from each voice, because each voice has also got a direct out, just in case you want to feed it through another circuit or put it through a different effects processor, etc., etc. But as I said earlier, nothing coming from the effectively what's to the left and right. So what appears to have happened in between Saturday night, when was the last time I had a bit of a practice, and then the Monday evening stroke night, was that the... What you could describe, if you were talking about in mixer terms, the master bus section,
had
died.
Mm.
And I tried various things. There is a reset procedure, which is in the manual, where you hold down the tap tempo and the effects select button simultaneously, and that's supposed to reset everything. That didn't work. I had some dialogue with Endorphins directly.
Yeah.
And they suggested maybe a firmware, not an update, because there isn't any new, particularly new firmware, as far as I can tell. It was just a firmware refresh or a reflash.
Just redo it.
And it just didn't want to reflash at all the various flashy lights, because it's one of those code...
The audio feeds.
Yes.
Oh, I hate those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you've got to play a WAV from a computer and connect a either a mono or stereo cable into an auxiliary input on the Queen of Pentacles and set it into a certain mode, and it's supposed to listen. It's a bit like a modem squelch, really. And that completely failed. So I'm 100% on the fact that the unit has failed. And they also suggested I could send the unit directly to Endorphins, but I thought...
Where are they? They're America.
Well, I thought they're... And I might have read this wrong, but I thought they're... Main address was Barcelona.
Okay.
But when I spoke to the retailer in the UK that I purchased it from, who I've subsequently sent it to for them to send it on for repair, they said they were sending it to Germany. So I'm a bit confused.
Maybe they have an authorized repair agent or something.
Yeah, maybe I read the address incorrectly. Maybe you should check.
I'm having a look. I'm interested. Spain. Yeah, Barcelona.
Yeah, exactly. So I assumed that it was...
No public visiting.
Yes. Maybe it's just a PO box or something like that.
Mm.
Anyway, the gentleman that responded from Endorphins certainly had a German Christian name, or German Germanic sounding Christian name. So I have to assume the manufacturing, or certainly the servicing is in Germany. Anyways,
I
dispatched it straight away this morning. It will arrive with the retailer tomorrow, and hopefully they won't delay too long to actually ship it to Europe. I would have potentially done it myself, but with all the fun and games with Brexit and etc., I didn't want to try and send something out there, because I could imagine the paperwork could be excruciating.
Yes, yeah.
And then it would have to return to me. Plus the fact that my relationship is with the retailer and not directly with the manufacturer, and I don't want to... I'm sure everything's going to go fine, but I don't want to muck that up if I have to potentially fall back on PayPal, which is how I originally paid for it.
Mm. Yes. Well, the only other time I've heard of Endorphins going wrong was another digital thing, which it seems like it might be part of the digital gubbins that went wrong.
There's certainly quite a lump of DSP involved. Mm. Possibly, it's hard to say. It was almost like the, you know how I just described how you can switch all the drum voices to a neutral position where they're not producing sound. It was like that facility to switch those voices had ceased to work.
Mm-hmm.
As I say, I could get the raw voices directly out their own individual outputs, but that circumnavigated the filter section and the effect section, which are some of the main aspects of what I believe make the Queen of Pentacles and the Black Noir interesting self-contained drum modules.
That is a shame.
Yes.
Big
so
shame.
I was almost of a mind to buy a new one today, but I sort of, in reflection, I thought, do I really want to spend £500 just to so that I can do a 10-minute performance?
Mm. We would be flattered, but no, we wouldn't have advised such a thing.
I would have ended up, one, paying more because they've actually gone up in price than I originally paid last year, and two, I would be duty bound to dispose of one of them once I had both in my possession, and I know that I would be losing not a substantial amount of money, but I would be losing money. Yeah. So not only would I be spending that initial £500 to do a 10-minute performance, I would be losing possibly about £100 of that when I came to resell the item.
Yeah.
So I think I can hold out for another month or so.
Fair enough. Anything else from your week?
I can't think. That was such a head spinner. You know how something sort of
just
like that
sucks you in.
Why now? Why does it have to do literally 2 days before the performance, it suddenly dies. It's been fine from when I purchased it back in August 2021. Mm. So nearly 6 months, I suppose.
Very rude. Very
rude.
Is that
6 months? 5 months?
Maths. Time is still weird.
I did one of those, because you can find anything in Google, literally. So I just typed in, how many days since the 24th of August?
And it just told you.
It just told me. I think it was 168. I seem to remember something in that ballpark. Just because I was checking on the comeback that you've got with PayPal, which is 180 days.
Gotcha.
I know I sound a bit paranoid, but you've just got to cover all these bases.
Yeah, cover your bases.
Just in case. It's an expensive module, and all I want is a working one.
Indeed.
They've told me that their actual repair time is very short. They aim to turn round a repair within 1 or 2 days.
It's not bad. Obviously, just waiting on the shipping and all
the
that
shipping
fun.
Is the big one.
Yeah.
As you know from your time in music retail.
Oh, my.
What we yep. normally tell customers, it could be anything between 4 to 6 weeks.
Yes, indeed. Well, fingers crossed.
Yes. It will be back at some point. Mm. But talk about, I don't know how to describe it. I mean, I'm starting to think this particular black system's cursed because it's been one problem after another. And prior to that, I've just been very lucky, but I really haven't had problems with any modules or modular
constructions. There weren't any other module issues, were there? Because the other one, it was just you had too beefy a system for your power supply. That's not the same kind of problem.
But I have to say it was both the ground control and the Queen of Pentacles that were behaving weirdly.
But at least there was a very clear reason for them doing strange things.
Upgrading the power supply resolved that issue, and then the subsequent fuse issue, upgrading the fuse resolved that issue.
But this is still the first mysterious, weird breakage type problem rather than the other ones, which were just spec issues.
Yes, certainly. Really. This is the first time in 8 or 9 years a module has actually failed on me.
Not bad.
I suppose that's a relatively good track record, but just why did it have to do it right now? Right, I suppose that if it's going to do it, that's when it's going to do it. When it's really needed.
Well, we'll have it in March then, maybe, hopefully, fingers crossed.
Well, in theory, if they can turn it round in a month, I mean, the unit
for the March ModCaf, at least.
Yes, the unit has been sent to Bristol, and then from Bristol, it'll be sent to Germany.
Oh, going
to
be well
And then from Germany, once they've repaired it, it'll be back to Bristol, and then from Bristol back to me. So that's four lots of shipping.
Poor thing.
Yes. So how's your week been?
Less fraught with electronic issues, thankfully. Lots of paperwork, but of the mind-boggling kind, because I don't speak legal, but I won't read any of that for fear of retribution. I sent a message to my sister. I now have a profound mistrust of solicitors, brokers, and salespeople. And she said, you didn't already, you know.
Yes.
Scary stuff.
I mean, it's deliberately there to be sort of obtruse, some of that legalese language they put into contracts.
Yeah, I suppose partly to make it incredibly specific in the legal ways that it needs to be, but maybe also to hide things. Don't know.
Yeah. So how have you been getting on with the O-Coast?
Yes, I had a bit of a play today. It's been cool. I do want some effects just because I need reverb. I need it. But no, it's been cool. I was chewing on the manual, did some of the pre-done patches. I left it just kind of crelling itself for half an hour today, which was quite nice. Just sitting there, and I'd kind of plug in my headphones occasionally and just, strange bleep bloops. The way they did their Krell patch in the manual means that it kind of lingers on the lowest notes, low, long notes, more than I have done when I've Krelled myself, which was nice. Some of the little, lots of the clangersy bits, as people will know it, and then some nice growly lows. It was very pleasant. Very pleasant indeed.
You'll have to possibly explain what the clangers are to our non-UK listeners.
Yeah, that's very specific. So I'm going to have to Google it because I don't really know. I've watched the clangers doing their thing.
Well, I used to watch it when I was a child, so you really are going back. But I think they kind of I wouldn't say a sequel, but they redid it more recently as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So a stop-motion animation aimed at children, little, I don't want to say knitted creatures, they're kind of woolly-looking, felt creatures. They sort of look like weird pinkish mice, and they're on the moon, and they make strange noises, which are kind of high-pitched and bloopy.
Well, their strange noises are very much done on one of those, was it not a penny whistle, one of those whistles that you pull the thing in and out.
Slide whistle.
Yes, that's it. That's exactly how the voices were done.
Yeah, there you go.
And when we're talking the 1970s.
Yes, indeed. 69 was the first air to 72. So, yeah, there we are. A BBC dealio. Find it on YouTube and you'll see what I mean. But yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun. I haven't been sucked too hard into the must buy more synthesizers and modules, other than my hankering for some reverby verb.
Am I correct in assuming that the output is monophonic on that?
Yes.
Well, then you wouldn't have to spend too much and you could acquire a relatively decent monophonic reverb pedal of some description?
I could do, but I'm not really into the pedals. And if you want to go headphones, it would just be a little inconvenient. So I will probably wait until a case has materialized. And I was looking at the Happy Nerding effects aid, which I believe you have, and was shocked at how affordable it was. So I'll probably get something like that.
Yeah, they're very good effects processor, that. But you need something indeed. To mount it in.
Of course. Well, I have spoken about the case project. There are no advances on such a thing, but it will go in there eventually. And I'll probably get a blank panel wide enough for me to just sit the No Coast on in that case.
If you're stuck, I've got some very big Dofa panels.
Ooh, that's the kind of thing I've got in my head. Yes.
Yeah, I've got a full set that I purchased some time ago. Someone obviously bought one of those semi-completed Dofa setups where most of it's blanked off, and then they sold off the blanks.
Yes, those would be perfect.
But you're most welcome to them.
Thank you very kindly. Yes, so been no-coasting a bit. I've been listening to Dune, the audiobook of Dune, which has been great, actually. Having seen the film before actually getting a decent way into the book, it's made the book more accessible. Maybe because I listened to it first and I wasn't a big fan of the chap who narrates it. I found it a bit dry, but now I sort of have that plot skeleton. I'm really enjoying the greater detail and more depth to the world building.
Yeah, I suppose they have to literally describe everything, whereby in the movie it's dressed out in sets and lighting and other things that you're not necessarily absorbing. But when you read it, you have to read all the details.
Definitely.
Did you manage to watch the YouTube video?
Oh, but I did. Really good fun. Really great stuff. It was interesting to see the team kind of talking about how much they enjoyed working with each other and the special process of Villeneuve having sound turn up so early in the filmmaking process. It was really cool. So thank you for sending those. My current philosophy, maybe, I don't know, for YouTube is I only watch things people have sent me. That does tend to keep me out of the rabbit hole, safely.
Yeah, that's not a bad policy, actually. That would certainly help to cut down my, shall I call it an addiction?
Maybe, or maybe not. Just, let's not worry.
Overindulgence.
That works. That does mean I end up with YouTube dealers. Mostly it's Anthony, actually, and he sends me eBay links and I buy things. Stop it. Anyway, Dune has been a thing. I've done a few voiceovers at work, which has been nice. Nothing exciting. Oh, I feel so sorry for the people that are going to be going to these events that will have my voice on them. There's one which is sort of snakes and ladders for some pharmaceuticals sales conference. It sounds awful. So, poor people. Another thing about work, which is very exciting, one of my colleagues suggested to the boss man, since our chairs are a little bit sad, that we need new chairs to save our backsides and our backs. And we've got refurbished Herman Miller's
proper
on the way.
Office chairs.
The real deal. I can't wait. I've heard the legends online and through a couple of people that have asked to seat contact experience with such things. I will report back when they've arrived.
If it's not a rude question, how much does a reconditioned Herbert Miller cost you?
I think these were sort of around the £200-300 mark, I think.
It seems pretty reasonable.
Yeah, given, I think, I don't quite know the range, but the one that you always see, the flagship, is the Aeron, which is around about £1,000, so it's huge cash. But yeah, 300 odd, that's a good deal. Excited for my lower back and bottom.
Be interesting to see if they are what the legend predicts.
Yes.
So to speak.
The legends say. You know, we'll find out and I will let you know, but very excited for that, very excited. I have some show and tell for you today. Do you remember, I'm not going to make the same joke as last time, but when I said I was getting into playing solitaire as a bit of a mindfulness practice?
Yes, and we discussed various qualities of playing cards and so forth.
Well, I bought some. This is actually the second pack I bought. I imagine you'll be familiar with regular cards that I think they're just made of paper and they have that kind of linen embossed finish. These are Copag cards, which appear to be favoured by many poker aficionados, and they are 100% plastic, which is interesting, gives them a lot of durability. And they're strange. When solitaring it up, the frictional properties are such that they do slide around a little bit, but it does make shuffling them quite nice. And if you do the old the ripple shuffle thing, you can just bend them as much as you like and they keep springing back, so it's not an issue as it is for some paper cards.
So they're quite resilient compared to paper.
Yeah, that's must be why they're favoured by casinos. They only go for the plastic type cards, but they're tactile and very enjoyable.
They don't feel over plasticky.
No, however they make the texture on both surfaces. It's nice and grippy, and it doesn't feel, as you say, it doesn't feel really glossy and not sticky, but you know the way that sticky, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Can't describe it any better. But I'm pleased.
Well, it will be a coating on the paper to give it some protection.
Mm, yes.
And I would imagine the coating is over the print.
Mm. Well, these are 100% plastic.
Yeah.
So I guess there is no coating. But on sort of the paper cards, it might be. I don't know. I don't know how they do it. Either way, plastic cards, they're not expensive, but they should last for the rest of time, though the box might not, because that is paper.
Mm.
Mm. The other thing does fall into the tactility world. So this has, I think I've mentioned this before, it incorporates my brass Fisher pen, but this is a notebook.
Very Indiana Jones, isn't it?
It is a little bit. So I had really got into notebooking just because of having a proper to-do list, which has really helped with my terrible memory, since I need to do certain things in the morning, certain things during the day. And where am I going with this? I don't know. I like notebooks. I'm happy that I have one in my pocket all the time, and I have my little check boxes, and I have a little thing. So this particular one is made by Travelers Company, which is a Japanese firm, and it is a leather cover with accoutrement such that you can add refills.
So is it buckskin? It does seem
it's
to feel like that.
A leather of some kind. I don't know the particulars of leather, but leather it is. So there's an elastic down the spine, which means you can insert the different papers. So I have a grid and a plane. Plane for note-taking and doodling and drawing and such. And the grid is where my to-do list with my checklist lives. There's also a little card doodad in there that I can add my Modular Cafe sticker to, but keep business cards, more stickers. That, I think, is a discount for a coffee website, sounds like me. And there's a pen holder on it, and it's reassuringly rustic, and as you say, Indiana Jones.
Very tactile.
Yeah. So you can have, I think, up to 3 refills in here would probably fit. This is a passport size. They do a bigger, taller one for bigger, taller note-taking, but it sits in my front right pocket, which is where my phone used to be, and moving my phone to a different pocket has discouraged the take the phone out, look at it, and reflex. You know, that one where you just kind of check it because there's nothing else to do. I haven't been doing that as much.
It's a very 21st century
problem.
Social thing. Which pocket do you keep your smartphone in?
Yes, front left, behind my wallet. That's how it goes.
Front left as well.
Mm, I wasn't, and it still feels a little bit weird, but that is entirely intentional to stop the reflexive grabbing of the phone to avoid boredom.
I'm exactly that. So front left for my smartphone and rear right for my wallet, but that's on the chain, which is also in a very similar buckskin as that.
Ah, yes. So with what was my layout previously? It would have been notebook in the left with keys, wallet, pen, and phone in the right. Now it is phone in the left with the wallet on top, screen towards the thigh.
Yeah, best protection.
Yep, there is an elastic kind of soft bit on one side of my wallet, so that goes against the phone. Keys back right, mask back left. That's a very 2021, 2022 thing. And then notebook in the right. I feel very lost if it's not all there.
I'll just pop this out. Here is my wallet, which has now got a sheen on it, but it was exactly the same kind of feel as your notebook.
Oh yeah, I do like leather. Is this, you got poppers on there?
Yeah, well, don't worry, open it up.
Oh yeah, look. I'm allowed to snoop in the wallet.
Yeah, just go in for it.
Yeah. Ooh. I do love objects that have clearly been around and are still doing their service with no problem at all.
That is my second one. They are produced by, well, they come from Germany, but it's certainly a German company, and it's called Greenland Nature.
Mm.
It also says protected on there, which I'm not sure what that is.
Oh, that's probably, it's got, going to have a...
some sort of screen in there for...
metal mesh for RFID.
I hadn't realised that. And there is...
oh, is that a previous one?
There's the previous one.
What was that one?
That's the previous one to that, but this one's an animal one.
Okay, amazing. So, hang on. One's an animal. Are these not leather?
Yeah, they both are.
So why is that an animal one?
I mean, that's the brand.
Oh, right. Gotcha. Okay. So there's a little bit fraying on that. Oh, so the chain gave up on
which is why the
replacement.
With a chain fit.
Gotcha.
Now, people always think it's some sort of weird, I don't know, fashion statement, the chain. because you, I mean, who uses chain? Bikers,
yep.
skateboarders, all that type of thing. But it's much more of a practical thing. Mm. It's just pure paranoia about
leaving it somewhere.
Yeah, leaving it on the counter at a bank or something like that.
Yeah, because then it would fall off and smack you in the leg.
Exactly. So it's attached to me.
Gotcha.
So it's just, especially as my as I get into my later years, my memory and everything is not as it was, and it just helps. It's one less thing to worry about.
Yeah. We have very different wallet philosophies. While I definitely appreciate the leather, and what do you call that, the style? It's kind of, is it a bifold? Is that what they, or is that a trifold?
I think it's more like a trifold, to be honest.
Because it's got
trifold would just be like a book.
Yeah, so it has tri-flaps, but bi of the folds. Anyway, yeah. So classic, leather, durable.
Yeah.
Mine is the size of a credit card and made of metal with elastic on it.
One of these sort of flick the credit cards out with
jobs. Yeah, you're supposed to kind of pop them out and sort of squeeze the thing and fan them out. No, I just kind of take them out as a block and then kind of shuffle through them like cards.
Like,
but it works.
I've really reduced the amount of plastic I carry anyway. Mm. So there is only one debit card. There is a credit card actually in here. I don't know why I don't actually use it.
Mm.
And that's it really. And a driver's license.
Yeah.
And then cash money.
Cash money. I haven't seen cash money in ages. I have mentioned before that, well, it's kind of come up with all of our show and tell things. We like objects that last. Something that I've done recently, which I should have actually made a separate calendar for this, but I've been putting in my Google Calendar anniversaries for certain objects that I own, because it's really pleasing when it suddenly comes around. You go, oh, this object has been going for 7 years, going strong. I really enjoy that kind of thing. I'm trying to remember what I've got. The wallet has an anniversary. I'm not going to be able to find them because I didn't put them in a different calendar because I'm silly. So does the notebook. Obviously, that's a recent one. My keyboard actually does, as in my typing keyboard, because it's quite a nice mechanical affair. I think I've had that for about 6 years. It's going still going strong, even with its LEDs and fanciness. I don't know. I can't remember what else is on there, but it's very comforting when it rolls around and you go, ah, thank you. Thank you, object, for sticking with me and not making me buy another. Waffle. Wheezy waffle. Last bit of my week, it seems like I've actually been busy or something. I haven't really. I just remembered things that I've been doing for once. Modcaf stuff. I've been catching up at last with the videos. There is one more left to emerge. That's yours, I think, Pete. You are turning up on the YouTubes on Thursday. Yeah, that's kind of it on the Modcaf front. But we've got one tomorrow. We have...
Which I won't be at now.
No. You can still come along and enjoy.
Yeah, I may still come along. I'm just sort of not feeling so enthusiastic. I do enjoy performing.
Mm. We do have, since we're returning to the original format, we do have tech spots. One will be Akira with the new Bug Brand system. And I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he is bringing a device to demonstrate to us, which is called the Wangulator.
Hmm.
Mm. It's a sort of gestural physical controller for modular stuff. So we'll see that. There should be evidence online at some point. The jam will happen. And I think we've got quite a few new faces coming along, which is quite exciting. I'm going to be there nice and early. How dare you, Maisie? I'm gonna be there nice and early to greet these new faces, and it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
And that's 7:30 start.
7:30 indeed. I'll be there from 6 or earlier, probably.
Well, that really is early.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I was thinking about Modcaf and thinking about buying things because I can't help it, because that's the culture we live in, apparently. So, I have a Zoom H5, which I use to record the COD maths and other such things. And having thought about my, not studio setup, because there isn't really one, but thinking about what I actually do with audio interfaces and things these days, and knowing that Sound Devices is a company that exists, I've been staring at the MixPre 3 for a while, which is one of their portable recorders. 192 kilohertz, 32-bit float recording. Mostly the 32-bit float is what's intriguing me at the moment. I think we might have spoken about this once, but it essentially means that you don't need to bother setting your gain because you cannot distort the inputs, which for modular performances is very handy because who knows what kind of volume or frequency range you're going to get and when. So it's sitting on my brain that it might be a useful purchase for not only that, but voiceover recordings for the lowest possible noise floor and highest possible dynamic range, but also for sampling, because super high sample rates will mean really good options for repitching things. Just some thoughts and dreams. I don't know. Anyway, there's ModCaf stuff. We have news. Just the one news. Do you remember some episodes ago when we spoke about Erica Synths doing cool DIY things?
Yes, I do.
Oh, good, because we were very happy, and I'm very happy with the first installment that you printed out for me. So kind. Well, the next one is here. Is it here? I don't know, but it's been announced. The VCA is next. Dual channel VCA, which is quite nice. DC coupled, so you can do audio and CV. And the CV input is normaled, so you could use it in stereo if you wanted. A good design, and one can only assume. Excellent documentation again. There is a video up on Moritz Klein's channel. Go and watch it, because why on earth wouldn't you? But I do need to. I'm going to do this right now, because I won't remember if I don't. I'm going to go on Thonk and sign up to the wait list for all of them. I must have them.
Do you have to do that page by page, or are they displayed on the same page?
Probably page by page, but let's find out. Okay, I'm on the page for the VCO full kit. Restock coming late February 2022. You must register to use the wait. Let me sign in. Log in. Select all images with tractors. It's my capture of the day. Join waitlist. Hooray! And now the... Well, that was the waitlist for the VCO. Let's have a look. When will we see the VCA? Mid-February.
Quite soon, then.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Well, it looks like I've just convinced myself to buy the whole lot. Oh, no, what a shame. Hooray! There we are. It's coming. Soon. Ooh, I think, what was it? What was the price? I think it was £46. Let me check. No, that's not the tab I wanted. Come back! £46, excluding UK VAT from Thonk.
Great.
Delicious. Delicious indeed. And maybe this will be the first thing that can actually convince me to take my time with a DIY kit. Just maybe. And there we are. Synth news, tiny bits. Rambling, many. That means it's time to round off this episode, unless you've got anything else for the books today, Pete.
No, that's it. 100%.
Not at all. Okay. Well, that takes us to the end. And the miscellaneous multimedia recommendation. I haven't got mine. Pete, far away while I scramble for one.
Right, as I mentioned earlier at the beginning of the podcast, I've been doing some serious binge watching of a couple of series on various streaming services.
Yeah.
I'm only going to talk about one of those today. And the particular series that I wanted to mention is called Devs. I don't know if you've heard of it or watched it.
If it's on Netflix, I might have scrolled past the title, but that's it.
Well, I personally watched it on the BBC iPlayer.
Ah, the Beeb.
But right. I also believe it's available elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
It's essentially a US TV series. I think there is 8 parts. Could be less, but it's, you know, 6, 8, something like that. Mm-hmm. As I watched,
bite-sized.
Well, I watched all of them within 24 hours, so it's a bit of a blur, to be honest.
Amazing.
And you know how it is. I'd seen some clips on YouTube and thought, something about this. I need to find out about it. Where can I see it? Did a quick search, realized it was available on the iPlayer, and set forth. And obviously, when you're streaming, you can skip the titles and skip any recaps and all that sort of stuff, so you don't have to endure
adverts.
Yeah, or the full length of it, so to speak. I don't want to give too much away, but it basically deals with some very existential things on existence, and it concerns the sort of usage of quantum computing to achieve some of these weird existential things. And there's also a bit of a kind of, I wouldn't say spy-ish, well, I suppose it is a spy-ish kind of thriller, kind of core, possibly a secondary narrative woven in between it. Well, it was enough to keep me wanting to see each episode
immediately after
I'd finished the previous episode. Possibly not for everyone. I thought it was very interesting. I thought it was well done. There wasn't anybody particularly notable. A lot of the actors on there were not essentially known to me. The only gentleman that I recognised, so to speak, was the gentleman who plays the Mentak on Dune for the House Atreides.
Yeah, I've no idea who he is, but I would recognise him. Let's find out, shall we? Is the Mentat's name Thufir Hawat? Is that the guy?
He's quite a large gentleman.
Yes.
And I think he...
I have no idea, but here's his face. Is that the guy?
Yeah.
He is Stephen McKinley Henderson. I was thinking the right guy. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that gentleman.
Sorry, I've got Dune on my brain now.
Fair enough. So I don't really want to say much more because I don't want to give anything away. Mm.
Existential, spy-ish, thriller maybe, quantum computing, and addictive, it seems.
Certainly.
Awesome.
Multimedia recommendation for this week is Devs, D-E-V-S.
Wonderful. I don't know what mine is. I've drawn a blank. It's going badly. Hmm.
Don't worry. We've got all the time in the world.
Ooh. Do you know if I recommended that one dude, Alistair Beckett King?
Doesn't ring any bells.
No. Okay. Well, let me tell you a story that isn't very interesting. I've definitely told this one before. You know when a word just gets stuck in your head and you sort of repeat it and it suddenly loses all meaning and it's very confusing? No.
No.
Well, it happened to me once with the word pillow. That's pillow. And
okay.
It still doesn't really make sense to me anymore. It's just a weird sound. Pillow. Anyway, two words got stuck into my head, stuck in my brain, and in my face. It was a disaster. Electric whist.
Electric whist?
Yes. Maybe because I'd been playing so much solitaire. Electric whist. Now, the reason for this is... going to be my multimedia recommendation. A YouTube channel, a very talented comedic person man called Alistair Beckett King. Beckett King is hyphenated, of course. Of course, of course. A tall ginger man, and he's hilarious. In a wordplayish bit of Fry and Laurie, Monty Python-y kind of corner of the humour world way. This particular sketch, I have to find out what it's called, but it starts with the phrase, "I've played a lot of dangerous games in my time. Knife tennis, electric whist, and so on." But electric whist, I couldn't get out of my head. Who cares? The main point is Alistair Beckett King. I'm going to check the spelling of Alistair. It's with a D, not a T. A-L-A-S-D-A-I-R. And then Beckett King is B-E-C-K-E-T-T-K-I-N-G. This one... they're really bite-sized. And I think his background must be in... special effects, video editing and such, because he green screens himself flawlessly and often comps himself into films, which is quite interesting. Okay, I'll give you three to watch because they're sort of minutes long. A Dangerous Game is the one with Electric Whist in it. I'll show it to you in a second because it's great. The World's Greatest Conductor is also excellent. And if you're a Star Trek fan, every episode of Popular Space Show. There we go. That'll be my for this week. Please tune in for the 111. Thank you so much. Farewell.